Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Helen.
And welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma. Today we are joined by Pauline, who works at CSL as a pharmacovigilance specialist, and we'll be discussing networking tips and early career do's and don'ts. To begin, Pauline, could you tell us a bit about your career journey so far?
Yeah, so I have a science background. So I'm actually from Perth originally, and I moved over here to Melbourne for my career when I started at CSL. But I graduated from the University of Western Australia with a Bachelor of Science. So I majored in biochemistry, which, although I majored in it, is not my favourite subject, actually, to be honest, but still really, really interesting. I also minored in pathology, so I have a really strong science background. And then after I finished up my bachelor's, I was a little bit lost. I was sort of like, you know, what do I do from here with my science degree? I didn't have any industry experience at the time. What I'd been doing was working in labs over the summer. So I was just sort of like, I'm not competitive enough to, you know, apply for certain jobs in industry because, you know, they're usually looking for experience and I didn't have any. So then I was like, okay, why not do my honours, you know, sort of continue that trajectory into research and see if I liked it or not. And so that's what I did. So I did a year of honours. I looked into tumour immunology in a mice model, and it was really, really interesting and I really loved it. Highly rewarding to do your honours year, honestly. I really recommend it. And it really gave me a glimpse of what, you know, further research was going to be like. And unfortunately, it wasn't quite what I wanted. You know, although I really enjoyed my honours year, I was like, I don't think I could do a PhD and, you know, get progressively into a research career. So at the end of just before my honours ended, I applied for the CSL graduate program and I was very lucky to be able to get in. And it sort of changed everything as, you know, I obviously then moved away from home to Melbourne and started my CSL graduate program. So that's where my career began. Mind you, I didn't know anything about pharmaceuticals at all. So like there might have been like maybe a couple handful of like pharmaceutical companies in Perth, but majority of them are over here in the east side, obviously. So yeah, didn't know what pharmaceuticals was. Didn't actually know what quality was either. And that was the stream that I went into the graduate program. So I did that for 2 years and rotated across all the business units at CSL. And then after that, I did another role in quality, looking at continuous improvement. And in my fourth year at CSL, I actually moved out of quality. So that was an interesting thing that was really unexpected for me. I thought I was going to work in quality forever, basically. You know, quality is like embedded in everything in pharmaceuticals. So, you know, you get to collaborate with a lot of different people. So I thought, you know, great place to be. So I got a role in pharmacovigilance, working in drug safety, and it opened up a whole new world for me that I didn't know of, basically, and really, really interesting, actually. You know, there's a whole science behind monitoring adverse events in pharmacovigilance. So I'm still fascinated about it. So, yeah, that's where I am now, basically.
Yeah, that's definitely a fascinating career journey. And like even as a student who studies pharmaceutical science, there's still like a lot of careers that even like we don't hear about. Like pharmacovigilance was not something I have ever really like thought about or like, and now you say that like what your job is, it's like, oh, of course we need that. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I still learn about different functions within the business and I'm like, oh, I don't know, I didn't know they existed. But it's it's really big, like the career opportunities you can go with in pharmaceuticals for sure.
And so you mentioned that you joined this CSL graduate program for 2 years and that sort of like helped you to like transition from university into industry at that time. So can you tell us a bit more about that? Like how valuable was the experience was for you at that time and maybe like now?
Yeah. So the graduate program, I think was really valuable. And I think without it, my career would look a little bit different, to be honest. You know, first of all, university is a very different place to the workplace. And, you know, I didn't know anything about industry as well. So that was another thing that was different for me as well. And what the grad program really allowed me to do was learn in a really supported environment as well. So for example, you know, I did 3-4 rotations across my 2-year program. And, you know, I was working in different areas of quality across the business, but I was also working on different projects with different people. So there was a lot of opportunities to learn as much as I could and from everyone in the business. And one of the things that the grad program really like pushed us to do was to take opportunities and to learn. You know, without some of those opportunities, I probably wouldn't have, you know, have the knowledge and have done the projects that I've done now. You know, another thing about the grad program is, for me, it really accelerated my development. I don't think anything in the grad program was easy that I did. At times, you know, it was pretty difficult, but I think that's where you learn the most, right, when you're outside of your comfort zone. And so by the time I finished my grad program, you know, I had been working with senior leadership. I was, you know, I had led and been part of like global projects with high business impact and critical timelines. And I learned all these skills in a really short amount of time. But yeah, within the 2 years, I felt like I'd been working already for like maybe 3-4 years. I had such a great holistic view of the business as well, that it just really set me up for success. And I think that's why the you know, the graduate program is so valuable as well. Like, I learned so much. I developed really fast, was outside of my comfort zone all the time, and I definitely got opportunities that, you know, I didn't think I would be able to get if I wasn't a graduate. You know, particularly if I had entered the industry like in one role, you know, I wouldn't have been able to rotate across all those different areas within 2 years. I think that was really valuable.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool that like as such like an early career, so early in your career, you were able to be involved in such big projects. That's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely felt like, you know, like I said, sometimes they were really hard projects, but you know, there was always that level of support from the business as well as your managers. You know, and they were just so supportive of your development as well. And yeah, it was very big on development, growth opportunities, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone, things like that.
Yeah, so such a fantastic opportunity. Another thing that like tends to help a lot of people moving from like academia to industry, or like just finding jobs in general, is to like volunteer in different areas. And that's like, that's a way to get experience without necessarily having to get those like jobs that are really hard to get if you don't have any experience. Is that something that you've done in your pathway a fair bit or at all? And how's that been valuable to like your personal and professional development?
Yeah, so I think volunteering is a great thing, to be honest. You know, whilst I don't like, probably when I was in uni, I didn't quite volunteer in like a field related to, you know, pharmaceuticals. Like I said, I didn't even know pharmaceuticals existed when I was at uni. So, you know, but the types of volunteering I did at uni was, you know, I volunteered at a science museum, showing little kids cool science concepts. Also volunteered for kids with disability camps. And personally, it was so rewarding. You know, you learn skills, you meet people from all walks of life that teach you different things. You learn skills that you don't learn from a textbook or an exam, or, you know, in the lab, for example. Sort of like that's where your emotional intelligence skills get developed. I certainly think personally volunteering shaped a lot of my, you know, my values and my beliefs as well. You know, the way I build my relationships and, you know, meeting people and all of that translates, like, you know, makes you who you are and translates to your professional life as well, pretty much. You know, the way, you know, my beliefs and, you know, the way I build relationships is so important at work. And, you know, when I interact with people, when I work, you know, collaborate with people, the way people view me at work as well. So that's all really relevant. In terms of volunteering professionally, I would really recommend it. Currently at the moment, I volunteer for an industry association called Parenteral Drug Association, and they're very, they're for, I guess, pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical industry areas. And, you know, I'm leading the committee this year, but I was, you know, there when it was, when it came, when it was established. And some of the things you learn from that, again, you don't learn at work, you know, leading a committee, organizing events, getting sponsorships, you know, how to engage and build a, you know, a community and a club kind of society kind of thing. That's all skills you don't sort of learn at work either. And it's very translatable. You know, I think that's why volunteering is so good. A lot of those things can translate to your professional life. Also makes you stand out as well. You know, like everyone's got a uni degree these days, you know, very academically high achieving, but not everyone has, you know, shows kind of good emotional intelligence skills or shows that they're good at collaborating. But, you know, that can kind of show through the volunteering you do, what kind of a person you are. So yeah, definitely really good to be able to incorporate volunteering, and that'll definitely help you professionally and personally for sure.
Yeah, it definitely seems to like give you a bit of an edge and yeah, help with all those skills that you can't really get in, yeah, the normal ways that people like go to school and yeah, get a lot of their skills. How do you go about finding those volunteering opportunities?
Mostly what I did was sort of look online, talk to people as well. It's a lot about, you know, sometimes connections. Most of the time, I think just be actively looking for those opportunities. Like there's so many things on Google that you can, you know, search up, you know, any industry associations near you, you know, volunteering aspects at work as well, charities, not-for-profits. They're all really good ways to start. To look for volunteering opportunities as well.
So to start with your volunteering, so obviously like networking and having connections or good relationships, it's a very strong starting point for volunteering. So we're just wondering, like, how are there any ways for you to like help you to build up those networking or like connections before you do volunteering or like while doing volunteerings? Like, are there any like questions that you would ask the other people to sort of like to start building up the relationship?
I don't think there is definitely specific questions you can ask. You can definitely ask good questions, but the way I approach my networking is be genuinely interested in what they do. And as a person as well, you know, I think one of my values is being authentic, and I think that's a great thing to be and to have and to do when you're networking. You know, you have so many people in your life, whether it's your workplace or, you know, at uni, and they've all got a wealth of knowledge, and to just simply start a conversation about, you know, who they are, what they do is a great way to start networking. And sometimes it doesn't have to necessarily be about, you know, straight away at least about, you know, your field of work or your career or, you know, what volunteering opportunities are, but just to, you know, get to know each other. I think that's the best way to network, you know, start building a relationship where it's, you know, comfortable, and, you know, there's trust. And I think after that, you know, that's where you can then move on to like, okay, I'd love to have some advice. You know, are you involved in any volunteering opportunities? You know, in your field of work, is there any really valuable advice? You know, do you have any connections that you could perhaps introduce me to or share any resources with me? Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, it's starting being authentic, you know, networking with someone, starting the conversation, and then it will naturally, really just naturally progress to like, you know, questions about anything and everything. Yeah. And I think that's the best way to do it, because a lot of people think networking is a little bit awkward, you know, like it's really hard to go, hi, like, you know, and then go, well, I'm looking for a job. Do you have a job? kind of thing. And that's just like, well, it makes both parties like, oh, like it's a bit awkward. But, you know, if you approach it in the way where it's really authentic, you're trying to just genuinely know them. And the more you know about them, it actually opens up more conversations and more, well, I didn't know you do this. Like, that's awesome. You know, do you have any volunteering opportunities there? Do you need any extra help there? So getting to know them and being authentic about it is a really great way to start the network.
Yeah, like one thing I struggle with when networking is like having that connection be ongoing rather than just be that one meeting and having that conversation. Yeah. And then often I like add them on LinkedIn and then never talk to them again because I don't know how to keep that going. But like how you said, like making it more comfortable and more authentic definitely seems like it would help that. Do you have any other advice for how to maintain connections?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And to be honest, I think that's something that I'm learning myself too as well, because it is hard to maintain relationships, especially, you know, in that capacity when it's either just purely online and, you know, you may not actually see the person all the time. So obviously when you see the person, you know, it's great to just have a cup of coffee, check in. You know, I have some, you know, when I, some contacts and connections at work, which I don't talk to all the time, but, you know, occasionally I will check in and have a coffee. You know, I think great conversation starters is asking them about how they are and something personal that you can then build on, and checking in on them. That's a great way to maintain the connection and the relationship. And I think that's probably, yeah, that's probably one that I think I'm working on as well. Definitely catching up, you know, connecting here and there. I think meeting face-to-face is a good one. Once you establish the connection, you know, meeting face-to-face here and there is pretty good. Yeah, definitely maintain contact when you can. You know, it can be just as easy as engaging with their LinkedIn post or like, you know, checking in on them. Doesn't have to be, I think it's okay to have some time in between. Like that's not a bad thing. You'd be surprised that most people are actually really, you know, it's, they'll be like, oh, you've popped up again and you're checking in. That's great to hear from you. I mean, it's actually great to hear from you. Like we don't need to maintain like a weekly or monthly relationship. It's perfectly okay to pick up where you last left off.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
So I guess like having connections and good relationships does help you a lot early in your career. So we're just wondering if you have any person or like people that you would go to seek for advice, or like you would like advise other students to go to look out for advice earlier in their career?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said earlier, you're actually surrounded by so many people that have a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, you could reach out to any of them and they'd be happy to give you advice, honestly. Like, you know, at work, anyone at work, a casual chat or, you know, a mentor or a manager. You know, obviously, if you're at uni, your lecturer, and, you know, if you're in a lab, your PhD students or, you know, investigators, scientists, anyone that works in the lab with you, anyone that has more experience than you will be happy to give you advice. You'd find that people are really open to that. And don't forget your peers as well. You know, it's always good to bounce ideas and see what they think as well. You know, even though they might not have more experience than you, they might have a different perspective. But like I said, I mentioned, you know, mentors and managers. So personally for me, my managers in the past have been a really good source of advice. So, you know, not just, I've been really lucky to have managers who are not just, you know, in the professional sense, just a manager, but, you know, personally, they've looked out for my development and going to them about, you know, actually not even, you know, going to them, but them coming to me and asking me, you know, what do you want to do? What projects are you interested in? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, let's talk about that so that, you know, I know how to manage your development. And so I've been really lucky. So it's definitely important to have good managers. That makes all the difference in your development and career as well. I've also been really lucky to have really good mentors. I don't think mentors need to be like officially, you know, your mentor. It could be anyone that you talk to, you know, on occasion, or, you know, that you see at work and, you know, stop for a chat and have talk about anything, talk about career advice, and they're just happy to give it to you. I've had, you know, official mentors as well, and that's been really good as well. You know, often mentors sort of talk to you and give you advice and about things that you probably haven't faced in your career or in the world yet. And you're like, wow. You're like, okay, I did not know that, you know, influencing at work is a skill that, you know, you need to succeed. You know, I thought people just like you and, you know, you work well on a project together and get things done. So, you know, mentors are so valuable because they, you know, often have more experience than you. They give you a very different perspective. A lot of my mentors are also really inspiring. So, you know, they have great qualities, whether it's their leadership qualities or, you know, their ability to, you know, do their job really well. It really inspires me. So, you know, having mentors is super valuable, like not just advice but inspiration, and, you know, them often sharing resources and connections with you as well. That's definitely also really valuable.
Yeah, it seems like everyone probably has like a fair few people in their lives that they could establish those relationships with. Like, I know myself, like I'm in my honors year and I have formed like a lot of those kind of relationships with the PhD students in my lab, and like pick their brains all the time about being like, okay, so like, how do you decide what you wanted to do and all that?
Yeah, deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life is a scary, scary like decision and question. And honestly, I think you only figure that out as you go on. There's like, you know, I didn't know I was going to go into the grad program and do pharmaceuticals, and I'm not sure where my career will lead me next. But, you know, you can have some planning, but most of the time things just happen and you just got to go with the flow.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes just having like random conversations with people that are not in our field, it really helps a lot. Agreed. Because like they can see things that we cannot see. Yeah. And they can ask questions that we never think about. So like it really does help a lot.
Yeah, no, you make a really good point. And I think some people undervalue that. You know, people sometimes look in a specific field for mentors, but often when you look outside that, it's like, wow, like, you know, it's different ways of thinking and different, like, you're just like, wow, you think so differently to the way I do. It's probably because we work in two different worlds, but, you know, it's all very translatable and transferable.
To bring this interview to a close, do you have any advice you'd like to give to young people right at the start of their careers?
Oof, yeah, okay, there's lots of advice. I'd say, you know, it's okay to not, you know, once you finish university, it's okay to not know what you want to do. Be open to opportunities and you'll eventually land that job that you're looking for, and you'll eventually find that it will lead you to something that you really enjoy. One thing that I really valued and still do a lot is I take opportunities and I actively seek them out. You know, I think to really excel in your career early on, look for those opportunities that make you highly visible, that will challenge you and also make you step outside of your comfort zone. I'm a big believer in that you don't learn much, you know, when you're comfortable and things are easy. And the best part, you know, to learning and to develop fast and, you know, is really step outside of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. You know, I think it can be a little bit scary and overwhelming when you first, you know, transition from uni to the industry or your career. And, you know, things you do have a real world life impact. It's not just an assignment anymore. It's more than that. But, you know, just believe that you have the relevant support for you to be able to, you know, do your job and be supported, even if, you know, you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. So definitely, you know, take those opportunities, you know, find them, go out and seek them. That will really help you stand out, help you develop. And, you know, don't be afraid of stepping outside of your comfort zone. I think that's where you learn the most, and you know, that's where you have also have most of the fun sometimes too.
Yeah, thank you so much for all that insight. It's been fascinating talking to you, and there's definitely a lot I'll take away, and I hope like all our viewers can get something out of that as well. Thank you so much.
No worries, you're welcome. Yeah, hopefully I gave some good advice. I'm still learning, and I think that's the beauty of it. You know, everyone's still learning. And if you're not learning, there's a problem, I think. So, you know, yeah, I hope it helped.
Dosa Pharma acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today, and pays respect to elders past, present, and future.